Can we have a quorum present? Apologize for a slow start, but maybe after the long day for a lot of people yesterday, folks are arriving a little late. But we do have a quorum present. We have the meetings for April, the minutes for the April the 9th meeting. Representative Dittmer, you look like you're studying something in your hand. Would you like to make a motion? Okay, the motion to approve the minutes is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor by signifying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. We're going to, I'm going to hold for a few moments on the modifying of the budget resolution. I think we'll take up Representative Kahn's bill first on the agenda, House File 1389. So, Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess at first I'll move that House File 1389 be recommended to pass, and I guess it goes to the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Kahn on the bill.
Okay, then we also have an amendment, the 8-4 amendment, to put the bill in the shape that the author, the staff, and MMB would like.
Okay, the A4 amendment has been moved, and do you want to explain the amendment or have the staff explain
it? I think I'd like staff. The amendment kind of becomes the bill.
That's right. So, okay. Is that going to be Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, sure. On the A4 amendment, lines 1.2 through 1.6 reinstate some stricken language in the bill. Essentially, rather than deleting a report or requirement to report all the actions of the Legislative Advisory Commission, the changes here will say that the report or the actions of the Legislative Advisory Commission must be posted on MMB's website. So it's simply reinstating the requirement to report, but changing that to a web report rather than a paper report. The language then in the amendment beginning on line 1.7 adds a new section. This section clarifies that, and the next several sections deal with federal funds, request to spend federal funds. The first section on lines 1.7 through 1.15 of the amendment would clarify that federal fund spending requests that are submitted as part of the governor's budget are for both years of the biennium. So requests submitted with the governor's budget that came in January and supplemental one that came recently would be for fiscal years 14 and 15, both years of that biennium. And then section 3 there that starts on line 1.16 also then is a new section that clarifies that when approval is given, it's given for both years of the biennium. For most ways of submitting these requests, the sentence on lines 1.23 and 1.24 separates out urgent requests and say those requests are only for a fiscal year. So a clarification on how long the requests are approved for. And then the new language on page 2, lines 2.1 through 2.8 of the amendment, this is new language that essentially specifies some of the minimum requirements that need to be in a federal fund spending request. And it's which federal agency is it coming from, the name of the grant, a federal identification number, brief description of the grant, the amounts expected by fiscal year, indication if a state match is required, indication if there's a maintenance of effort requirement, and the number of full-time equivalents needed to implement the grant. This information is submitted or is currently included with these. This just kind of puts that requirement in law. And then also sections 2 and 3 of the current bill would be deleted here, and there were some problems with that language making it work. In the amendment then, starting on line 2.9, this is adding a section that the bill had repealed, and the repealer will be stricken on line 2.19. But this is another case of a report that on it's a report on local impact notes. The bill was going to repeal that. This requires MMB to post the local impact notes on the website, so it continues the reporting requirement but changes it from paper to the website. Then on line 2.17 and 2.18, this is an amendment on page 7, line 22 of the bill. This deals with the public portal for the SWIFT system, the new accounting system, and rather than delete a requirement about when the data starts, it changes it from 2010 to 2012. The first year of data in SWIFT is 2012, so there's really not a way for the SWIFT public portal to be reporting data for 2010 and 2011. So it keeps the requirement of the information, it just changes the year. Then on 2.19 of the amendment, this deletes a repealer on the reporting of local impact notes. Line 2.20 of the amendment deletes a requirement regarding a No Child Left Behind report, and our understanding is that's going to be dealt with in the education area. So there's nothing on that report would be in the bill, or nothing regarding that reporting requirement would be in the bill if the amendment's adopted. And then 2.21 of the amendment deletes a requirement or deletes what had been a repealer of a trunk highway fund usage report, and I understand that's going to be discussed in the transportation committee, so that would no longer be in the bill as well. So that's the amendment, Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We now have the bill before us as amended. Representative Kahn.
Well,
any further comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, I think you can understand if you listen to Mr. Marks explaining why I had him do it rather than have me do it. This is a bill that has an awful lot of words in it that just makes things simpler and more understandable and easier to do for state government in both MMB and OET. Now Minute. And I think we're officially changing that name in another bill that was kind of proceeding at the same time this one was.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Hulbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, why would you be deleting the report on the pension sustainability? It's on page 1R of the appendix.
I'll let Ms. Weber from MMB explain that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hulbert, MMB is proposing the deletion of that reporting requirement because it's currently an MMB responsibility. We don't have that data. We would have to go to the pension plans for it, and we also don't have the expertise to report on it. So we're proposing that it be repealed from an MMB statutory requirement.
And Representative Hulbert.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kahn, this is a pretty important area of state government responsibility. There's a lot of uncertainty about the ability to fund these plans, et cetera. So is your intent to take this requirement and require it of the pension group, or how is the public going to get this information?
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hulbert, if you attend pension commission meetings, it's kind of like the subject of every one of them. If we specifically want a report, and I'll go check with the pension commission people, if we want some kind of a summary report, you know, that's where it should come from. It should be attached to the pension bill, and that's where. And that's it should come from the pension commission, which is the best source of expertise on this issue in the state.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, would you support that?
Yes, after talking to the pension commission people along with what they do. I think what I said is that their whole life is kind of a continual, a continuation of doing that report essentially every session, that we have a report on that and do it. And the question is, is it any more than what's available for them right now? Or even in a different form than what's available right now. So I would certainly go to the pension commission, who is, I'm sure, given all the data for whenever this report came out, not the pension commission staff, and ask them, is anything going to be missing by this belief? And where can we call, and if it is, where can we call people's attention to it?
All right, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then Representative Kahn renews her motion that House File 1389, as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Members, I didn't take up the budget resolution first because I wanted more people here, and our numbers are probably about as high as they're going to be with so many committees going on. In your packet, you have the House budget resolution and the distribution of the dollars and where the change shows up in terms of the change in the resolution. And that will be A1. So the chair moves the A1 amendment, which will increase the target for capital investment by 2.590 million. And it's my understanding, and Representative Houseman can comment, but to accomplish a couple of things that we need to and would like to accomplish in the capital investment bill, we need a slightly larger target. So Representative Houseman.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The two areas that require cash, one is the capital for rent. I think it's rent and relocation is the language, or something that doesn't fit geo bonding, but that would require cash. And then the other is the nonprofit housing under MHFA. Public housing is traditional geo, but the MHFA is not, and that requires cash in the bill as well. So those are the two lines.
Oh, any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Can you tell us how the 2.5 million is distributed, and is any of it for debt service, or was all cash?
Representative Hulsman.
Mr. Chair, if Mr. Marks probably has the numbers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, the $2,590,000 is the amount needed for general fund debt service for the $35 million of housing bonds that Representative Hausman mentioned, appropriation bonds. It's a general fund appropriation as opposed to debt service to the Housing Finance Agency for them to pay for the debt service on those bonds.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Holder.
So none of this 2.590 million is going to capital, rent relocation is cash, or?
And Mr. Chair,
that we had already provided for in the bill, so that was already on our bottom line.
Mr. Chair, that amount was already built into the original target number. The $1,582 million that was here includes, I can't remember the exact number. It's like 1.8 million, perhaps, in this in the 14-15 biennium for agency relocation costs, a general fund cash appropriation.
And by the way, members, I should have mentioned this. If you're wondering where the money comes from, we had a category other bills, and it was $52 million. And the biggest expenditure there is pension, a pension bill that will be coming through, as well as what we designated as other bills that will be coming through. So it comes out of that bottom line number.
Mr. Chair.
It's in a sense, other bills is what we're dealing with is where it comes from. Representative Wilbur.
Okay, so I'm still not clear. So the $2,590,000 is all for debt service, is that correct?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, it's ultimately for debt service. As far as the state goes, it's going to be a general fund appropriation to the Housing Finance Agency for them to pay debt service. So it's not a direct state payment for debt service, but it will be used for debt service by the Housing Finance Agency.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Holberg.
And Mr. Marks, then will this have tails? Is this a continuing then appropriation for a period of time, and if so, how long do you see that?
Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, I believe it's for 20 years. Each year for 20 years.
right, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment to the House Budget Resolution A1? Hearing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carried. We'll now go to House File 1041, Representative Markwart. Representative Markwart, would you care to make a motion?
I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I will move House File 1041, I believe, to the general, be passed and
placed on the general
register. Placed on the general register, yes.
Okay, the motion is before us and then on the bill.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this bill simply removes some obsolete language which deals with alternative attendance programs. It was something that was specific to 2006, so that deletes that language.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, seeing none then, all in favor of House File 1041 being recommended to pass and placed on the general register, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The next bill up is House File 588, Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chairman. Are we meeting next Friday?
We are. Why are you?
I pass.
Oh, I was a little slow on your. Okay. We had a discussion about dinner and supper while we were waiting for a quorum, and what it means if you're going to gather next Friday. What Friday would you show up? And what was the other one? Oh, brown bagging. What that means in North Carolina, or did when North Carolina was a dry state, and what it meant in Minnesota when you would bring your own lunch. So I was concentrating too much on what we were doing here, Representative David, to pick up on our earlier discussion.
Mr. Chair,
but you do interject some humor from time to time. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. People need to get here earlier to find the humor.
That's right, they do.
They don't know.
You have to show up on time to get the true feel for the committee. Okay, Representative Atkins, you have a bill before us, House File 588. Would you care to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll move House File 588 be recommended to pass and refer to the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. On the bill, Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the so-called nurse staffing ratio bill. For members who haven't heard this, I've been through a number of committees thus far. As members know, I'm kind of averse to carrying controversial bills. I try to avoid controversy as best I can. And this one, quite honestly, started out really controversial and has been for about a decade. It started years ago as a hard number, an arbitrary figure of so many patients assigned per nurse. And it was resisted quite strenuously by the hospitals. It was brought by the Minnesota Nurse Association with an aim towards patient safety. The hospitals have responded to that previous iteration with a description of the very high quality care that Minnesotans enjoy when they go to a hospital here in Minnesota. We put in a different bill this year that would have asked for nationally accepted standards, evidence-based standards to be used to set those ratios. And still there was not quite a meeting of the minds between the proponents and the opponents of the bill, and quite a bit of disparate testimony. We had situations where folks would come up and testify about the very significant adverse impacts and situations that are occurring in certain hospitals in Minnesota. And the dire outcomes as a result of those situations that arose due to a lack of staffing. And then we'd have the hospitals testify that things were going very, very well. And in fact, there's studies that demonstrate that our hospitals are doing a fine job. So in light of that kind of disconnect, what we settled on, and both sides have agreed to at this point, is the language that's in House File 588 now that's before you. It requires two things. In essence, one is a core staffing plan that would be posted to kind of give consumers an indication of what they're in for and what to expect when they go to certain hospitals. The second piece is a study and report that would be done by our Department of Health. They'd put together a work group to try to rather than rely on the anecdotal evidence that we've had testimony to, they would literally do that study for us and try to figure out the correlation between nurse staffing and patient outcomes. That language is set forth in the bill as it stands. The question may come maybe from Representative Holberg about why this bill is now in front of us. It's actually the finance piece is being carried, as I understand it, in the omnibus health finance bill. But I think in fairness, this is a big enough issue that even though we're here solely with the policy today, we acknowledge that it does have a fiscal impact and just wanted to be completely forthright with the members of the committee. Even though that piece is not in the bill as it stands today and is carried separately, we wanted to make sure that members saw the policy side of this bill, even though the finance piece of it, I believe, Mr. Chairman, is coming next week.
That's
Chairman
right.
Huntley's bill. With that, I have folks here to answer questions, but both sides have indicated they can live with the language that's currently in House File 588, and I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Okay. Any questions on the bill? Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Atkins. I guess I was very concerned about the original bill, and so was my hospital. I have several hospitals, actually, in my district. The question that I have, I guess the concern, I think there's a lot of uncertainty in the whole arena of healthcare right now, particularly with the insurance part and all the rest. The question I have is, with this compromise and these requirements now, how much extra time will staff have? How difficult will this report, I mean, how much time will that take? Are we burdening again the system with more paperwork? I guess is the basic question.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nornes, I think from a 30,000-foot perspective, first off, is when we're talking about the search of testimony, I know you haven't been in the previous committees, but the testimony we've heard is just outright scary. It's downright frightening what's been described as threats to patient safety. So regardless, my first answer would be, regardless of the amount of paperwork that may be added on, I think it's just that important. That being said, is we've had discussions with the Department of Health, with both the Nurses Association and the Hospital Association, and that's why we've got the work group element plugged into this. We expect those conversations to continue with our department, so that it isn't an overwhelming amount. Most of them, as you know, and you kind of referenced in your question, they're preparing a lot of have a lot of this data, I think, already. This isn't new information that they're going to be required to dream up. It's something it's a report of what's currently going on that would then be assembled by the Department of Health. And I think it is creating more work, though, in fairness to the Department of Health. And they're going to be expected at the end to put that together in effort to share with us.
Mr. Chair, Representative Atkins, I guess the other part that concerns me is I visited with the Lake Region Hospital staff in Fergus Falls, and I asked them about the past legislation that required reports so that consumers could make some choices based on outcomes and so forth. So you can go to the internet, you can find out who's doing well, who's not doing well, to find out only that data is so old by the time it gets posted that it's really irrelevant. And so here's another report I'm just concerned about, what it's going to do, and is the intent then to prove the original bill was necessary so that in a year or two we'll come back and the bill will then require the mandate that you intended in the first place?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nornes, I'll take your second question first. And the short answer is there is no predestined outcome. We wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't a very genuine question. And to have the sort of testimony that we're getting on each side of the issue, I think it really does argue for having a non-biased study be done and provide us unbiased information so that we can make a decision, a thoughtful decision, rather than one that's motivated by emotion. Secondly, is I appreciate you pointing out the fact that the data is kind of old. This is much more in real time, and the reports that in the first portion of the bill that hasn't gotten that much of attention, but the core staffing is supposed to be kept up to date, and if there are changes in that core staffing, it would be updated within 30 days, which still isn't, you know, exactly real time, but it's a heck of a lot more up to date than some of the data that that folks have been concerned about.
Representative Nornes is in.
Okay, Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Adkins. The devil's kind of in the details in these things sometimes, and in reading through the fiscal note, when you look in on page 2 and the type of data that's being submitted, it's asking for data sufficiently granular to allow calculation of average patient acuity level per unit and shift, or patient-specific acuity level per shift. What does that mean?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holbert, I can take a shot at it. We have somebody here from the Department of Health, and while I'm taking a shot, if Diana would join me, if this data and report is going to have sufficient basis to provide us with the kind of information that we need, we're not looking for something at the 30,000 foot level that I referenced earlier. We're looking for something that gets down to the day-to-day, shift by shift, whatever it is that that demonstrates whether there's and to what degree there's that correlation between the nurse staffing amount and the patient outcomes. I think that's all that we're anticipating, and that can be right down to an on the ground level. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we've got a representative from the Department of Health who can talk about that in more specificity if you'd like, Representative Holton.
If you could identify yourself for the record.
Yep, certainly, Mr. Chair.
I heard your first name, but I'm not sure what the last name is.
I'm sorry.
The last name is more difficult. Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Diane Rydrick, and I'm the director of the Division of Health Policy at the Minnesota Department of Health. And Mr. Chair and Representative Holbert, in response to your question, I think that's one of the issues that we would hope could get worked out in consultation with stakeholders and through a work group. In order to come up with some sort of meaningful correlation as to whether there's a relationship between staffing levels and outcome, you would want to have some way to look at the severity of illness of patients on a unit, because otherwise you could have, for example, X number of falls in one unit or X plus 5 falls in another unit, and some patients might be sicker than others, and so it doesn't necessarily say anything about the quality of care or the relationship between staffing and outcomes. So we would hope that through that process of working with a work group, we would come to what the right level of granularity is, whether it's an overall measure of acuity for a unit or for a shift, or whether there would be a need for something a little bit more detailed than that. We would not envision collecting any information that is identifiable by patient, but just trying to get to the right level of information to allow us to know if patients are sicker on one unit or one shift than another.
And if I might, if somebody happened to be an individual who refused permission for disclosure of their health information for any research purposes, would their information be included in these studies?
Ms. Reitman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbert, we don't envision there being any patient-level information that would be a part of this study. Again, the information that hospitals would be submitting would be at a unit level and a shift level, not specific to individual patients. And I could envision that the type of information that might be useful would just be an aggregate measure. So on average, the 5 patients on this unit had an acuity level of 1 or 3 or whatever, however it ends up being measured, rather than looking at specific patients.
Right, Mr. Chair, but it's my understanding if you opt out of being included in research, you're not even included in aggregate data unless required by law. So I'm asking, do you view that patients would lose their privacy protections as a result of this legislation?
Ms. Rydvik or the author?
I would actually prefer to take that question. No offense to Ms. Rydvik, but well, it's certainly not the chief author's intent to undo or end around any existing protections of privacy that patients have. Is that clear enough, Representative Holbert?
Well, Mr. Chair, and again, words have meaning, so while it may be your intent, I'm not sure that there's enough clarity in your bill, but we can probably deal with that at a later time. When I look at the language of the bill and the agreed to study information and posting on Section 1 of the bill, and then I look at the fiscal note, it looks like there's going to be a lot more information collected, and I'm wondering if there's anybody from the Hospital Association that can speak to whether that was part of the agreement and what the implications are for their operations to prepare the more detailed information in the fiscal note.
Is there anyone from the Hospital Association that is speaking? Okay.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Mary Krinke, and I'm with the Minnesota Hospital Association. I want to be very clear that in terms of the language that is in Representative Atkins's bill, House File 588, the Hospital Association has agreed to what we thought was a compromise on the language in Representative Atkins's bill. Our concern is with the language, the way the Minnesota Department of Health appears to be interpreting the study. And I want to be clear, we have agreed to report our staffing levels on a publicly available website and to do a quarterly report four times a year of what our actual staffing levels were and the number of patients per unit. Reporting patient acuity information is much more difficult. We have 600,000 patients in Minnesota hospitals every year, and patient acuity can change hourly. Okay, patient sickness and the care that they're given can change hourly. So the details that are in this fiscal note could be very, very burdensome for Minnesota hospitals to do. We thought that the study language created a work group and that we would be working with interested parties and the Minnesota Department of Health on fleshing out what other information might be helpful, how we could work together on looking at patient safety and some of the issues. So the actual staffing and work group language that are in Representative Atkins's bill, we could live with. The fiscal note details on reporting patient acuity per shift would be very onerous. So thank you.
Any further questions, Representative Holbert?
Mr. Chair and Ms. Krinke, the language that I asked what that meant to the Department of Health, can you tell me what that means to you as a representative of the hospitals?
Ms. Krinke?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbrook, patient acuity is really kind of the health professional word for how sick a patient is. And so obviously like an ICU unit has a higher patient acuity than other units of a hospital. And the staffing level report that we are going to be mandated to do is per unit, so by the hospital unit. So you will know a little bit instinctively an ICU unit would probably have more staff than another unit of a hospital. So you'll know by the name of the unit. But getting into individual patient acuity could be very difficult for us to report. If you look at the fiscal note, there's a lot more requirements here in the fiscal note than we agreed to in the context of the overall bill.
And if I might, Holbert, to your knowledge, is there an indicator or a measurement tool of acuity that is readily available, or a matrix or scale, or is this something that would have to be determined as well?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbrook, some of our hospitals are developing acuity tool models, which then change almost hourly, but those are just some of our hospitals are looking at trying to develop those acuity tools. Obviously, every hospital looks at the status of their patients and changes staffing, but a specific acuity tool. Some of our members are developing those now.
And Mr. Chair, if I might, so there's no standard, say, with Medicare that you put a figure on. I mean, I have a little knowledge about when people go to nursing homes, there's different levels. They evaluate somebody and how they pay versus what their rating is. There's no similar standard that could be used to address this.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, Joint Commission and accreditation standards for hospitals, they look at staffing, so I don't want to say there's not any standards that are out there in place. When I'm saying specific acuity tools, there's not a standard specific acuity tool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any further discussion?
If I to some of the points, and I appreciate Ms. Krenke joining us here at the fiscal note that's come out and what the Department of Health has put together in that fiscal note. I don't think there'd be any disagreement from either the nurses' side or the hospital side about the desire to have a credible study be done as a result of those work groups' efforts. And I didn't hear anything different from Ms. Krenke. I think everybody, both sides, nurses too, by the way, and legislators, I think are concerned about workloads and what this is going to mean and what it's going to demand. But it's as I said with Representative Nornes, I think it's such a critical issue in terms of some of the testimony that we heard about the concerns. I would just ask Ms. Krenke, I assume that you want to work with the Department of Health to the extent necessary so that we have a credible study and report at the end. And I know that's going to require more work than you're currently doing because that's what we're doing here. I'm assuming you're not adverse to that. It's just a matter of you don't want it to be so overwhelming that it is that fair?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Adkins, we thought that the work group that is called for in the bill would be developing some of the specifics around the study.
And Mr. Chairman, I've had the reason I bring this up is I've had discussions with the Department of Health. They just want to make sure they have a direction, a sense of direction from. So I've been trying to give them some direction. I've shared some language with the nurses that they didn't think was perfect. Shared it with the hospitals that they didn't think was perfect. So it's probably not perfect. But in terms of giving some direction to the Department of Health, I just want to make sure that at the end of this, when we're in January 2015, which is what the bill calls for, on behalf of the hospitals and the nurses, we have a credible report that the chairs and legislators that are concerned about it can rely on and use to maybe there's nothing that needs to be done, maybe there's something significant, or maybe there's something in between. But I think all sides agree that we've got to be detailed enough so that we can have a good quality, credible report at the end.
Okay, we have at least three people that have some questions yet. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in the presentation of this bill, and I thank Chair Atkins for working on this, trying to bring both sides together. You know, we always try to get, well, not always, but some of us try to get peace in the valley. And I thought we had peace in the valley, then it didn't sound like it for a little bit. If Ms. Krenke could come back, I've been thinking about the granularity of the acuity, and I actually ran on that. Now, we have a situation here where it seems that the bill itself is reasonable, and I thank you for the work that you've done to bring these two sides together, but I just wasn't feeling the love there for a little bit with Ms. Krenke. And I am very well aware that we can pass a bill and then, you know, I could write a book on agencies gone wild because the agencies take what we ask them to do and it becomes something that we did not envision. So, Ms. Krenke, as the bill is, do you support House File 588 in its current form or not?
Ms. Krenke.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, if the bill had no amendments and was written as it is now, House File 588, the answer is yes.
Okay.
And if I may, Representative Davids, to your comment, there is a line in here that I think you will really appreciate based on your previous comments there. It says, all hospitals reporting data under this section would be required to abide by the decisions made by the Commissioner of Health. That statement is a little concerning to us regarding how much data the Commissioner of Health may ask us to report. That is not part of the bill. That is in the fiscal note.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Crinks, that is a bit concerning to me, too. So we will watch this very closely and see if this gets added to my book of Agencies Gone Wild.
Okay, we have Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Atkins, this has been controversial. It's been controversial in other states that have enacted this. And the path has been bumpy both in the House and in the Senate to get it to here. So obviously we're looking at this going to the House floor, and we're looking at the fiscal note and some obvious questions with the fiscal note about possible changes to the bill on the House floor. Relative to the fiscal note, and from what I hear from the hospitals, they're saying that we had a deal, and it's not easy to get to, and they don't like it, but it's a deal, and we're moving to the House floor with this. If there is substantive changes to the reporting of this on the floor, would you think that the Health Policy Committee should review that, or that should be brought back to the Health Policy Committee, or do you feel like we can do those kinds of policy changes on the floor?
Mr. Chairman, Representatives, Dean, I believe it should go back to committee. If it's a matter of a tweak or something like that, Representative Dean, I'd come and visit with folks across the aisle to make sure that they considered it similarly to be a tweak. If it was major substance, then I think it would be best to go back to committee.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Holbert.
Representative Atkins, you on the front page of this bill, you have a definition of a patient acuity tool, but I'm not sure that I see that anywhere else in the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I just found it to be a fascinating term and thought I'd include it in my bill. I don't know where it is, Representative Holbert.
I think.
But
would you like Mrs. Krenke to come forward?
She could be particularly
ready
helpful
and able to maybe reference that, Ms. Krenke.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Atkins, in a previous version of the bill, there was language that excluded hospitals that had one of these very expensive patient acuity tools from the reporting requirement. And in work in a previous committee, it was decided that no hospital should be excluded from this reporting requirement that everybody was in. And so that definition, exactly like Representative Atkins said, it doesn't really need to be in the bill anymore, but it was part of the definitions when we excluded some hospitals from the reporting requirement, and a previous committee decided that no hospitals should be exempted from the reporting requirement.
And Mr. Chairman, that was frankly my understanding as well, was that we no longer had that term anywhere in the bill, but this is such a tenuous agreement that I've made an agreement with both sides I wouldn't change anything, even that, unless there's some. That would be Representative Dean, that would be what I'd consider a tweak perhaps. If both sides were cool with that on the House floor, we could perhaps remove that definition, but nothing of a substantive nature. Thank you, Mary.
Representative Holberg, is that?
Yeah, I'm concerned when you look at the amount of money in the fiscal note and the testimony by the hospitals, depending on how this is interpreted, the cost to the hospitals, if we're getting down to patient level, average patient acuity level per unit and shift, or patient specific acuity level per shift, I think that's going to cost the hospitals a lot of money. I'm not sure that I actually heard a great explanation of it. It doesn't appear that there's an industry standard. It just I understand the hospital's concerns and that they agreed to a bill and that maybe the fiscal note is maybe laying out things that they may or may not have agreed to as far as amount of work and information. And so I hope that the author continues to work with both sides to get resolution to this. And maybe the cost of the study will go down as well. I mean, I know that the Health and Human Service has a challenging budget target, and any money we can save in other areas, I'm sure, would be welcome as well.
And I have a feeling the department is hearing the discussion here, so there seems to be a little disconnect between the department's fiscal note and the bill, but I think Representative Atkins has pointed out that the bill in and of itself should be the guide as to what that study contains.
And, Mr. Chairman, both sides in this committee, with Ms. Krenke and in previous committees, have committed to the fact that at the end they want a credible study that we can actually rely on rather than have anecdotal evidence. So we're not looking at literally every shift, every patient, every set of acuity, but enough to give valuable data that can drive a credible study and report for us. And that's all that I would look for the work group to accomplish, the nurses, the hospitals working together, and the Department of Health.
Hey, Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Atkins, we all know that many times when these pieces of legislation go to a conference committee, I don't know where the Senate is, their language is, if it's identical to yours, but if it's not, it goes to a conference committee, and then what will you do if it comes back and it's not set in stone like it is right now in terms of the agreement between the two parties? What's your decision on that?
Representative Mr. Chairman, Representative Detmer, nobody fights harder for the House position than I do.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we heard kind of a loud voice from the hospital side. I'm just wondering if we might hear from the nurses' side on this, Mr. Chairman.
that would be fine. Is someone here from the nurses? And President Clark, do you have a specific question, or just do you want their confirmation of endorsement of the bill, or what?
Yeah,
Representative Clark.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm interested in just getting on the record. I mean, we kept referring to the hospitals that have instructions to the health department. I want to make sure that there's equal sensitivity to the nurses' voice.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, my name is Susan Stout. I'm representing the Minnesota Nurses Association here today. We do support the bill as it is presented to you. We also believe that we need to have a good, solid study. There are a number of criteria that need to be taken into account if you're going to do a good study. Really, the only thing that's going to resolve this issue over time is to have a neutral party really look at this issue and be able to come back to the legislature with some good, solid information. And so we support the study moving forward. We believe that we can iron out anything that we need to related to details in the advisory committee. We're anxious to be a part of that advisory committee, and we believe that we can work with the hospitals and with the department to come out with some good criteria.
Representative Clark, is it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Representative Holder.
Thank you. Well, Ms. Stout is here. Is it your organization's belief that in order to have study that meets your standard, that there'd have to be a collection of data that would be sufficiently granular to allow calculation of average patient acuity level per unit and shift, or patient-specific acuity level per shift?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, I believe that in order to do a good study, you have to take into consideration patient acuity. Otherwise, staffing would look the same at Tracy Municipal Hospital as it does at Abbott Northwestern, and we know the patient acuity is probably a bit higher at Abbott than it is at Tracy. So obviously, to do a good study, you need to be able to at least take into consideration some measure of patient acuity. Now, how you do that, I think, is something that we need to iron out in the advisory committee and with the department. We believe that the department is pretty thoughtful in how they're trying to approach this. As I read the fiscal note, it looks like they're really being very thoughtful. We're also very sensitive to the fact that anytime you do a study and you require 149 hospitals to submit data, that we don't want it to be overly burdensome, but we do want to have a good study in the end. So should patient acuity be a part of that? Sure. How detailed you get down to patient acuity, I guess we need to talk about that in the advisory committee and come up with a reasonable standard.
And Mr. Chair, if I might, it's my understanding that the language in Subdivision 2 of Section 1 of the bill, well, actually Subdivisions 2 and 3, that outlined the hospital staffing report and the electronic reporting was the agreement that was reached as far as information to be shared, and that in addition to this, there's all kinds of reporting that hospitals do to the Department of Health about adverse incidents, et cetera, and they send all kinds of information. Was it your understanding in the negotiations that this would be the information that the hospitals would be required to submit for this bill and to conform? Or are the nurses under the assumption that there would be additional reporting requirements beyond what was agreed to in this bill?
Ms. Stone.
Mr. Chairman, when we looked at the way the bill is constructed as it was negotiated, the reporting is a public reporting on a website. And we agreed to that public reporting on the website as it is written. And we believe that that is that's an agreement, and we hold to our agreements. A study is a little bit different thing. Usually when the department does a study, they get into information in a little bit more detail so that they can do a good study. And we never mixed the study with the public reporting. Those are really two different provisions in the bill.
Mr. Chair, so are you able to articulate whether or not you believe that the agreement in the room was that there would be additional information and reporting required by the hospital as a result of the working group, or that the working group was going to work with the information in subdivisions 2 and 3?
Mr. Chairman, in all honesty, we weren't mixing the two together. And we never really talked with the hospitals about the detail of how to get the study accomplished. I think that the agreement that we had with the hospitals was a very not discussed in great detail. And I think hospitals had different hopes than we had. If our hopes were for a great deal, I mean, our hopes were for a ratio bill, in all honesty. And now we're down to a study and some transparency reporting. And we agreed to that because we felt that some transparency of staffing levels would be helpful for the public. And we felt that a study would be helpful for all of us as we move forward. And we never really overthought it past that.
Thank you for that information.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Atkins, I just want to reiterate what the chair said, to make sure when this bill does get to the floor that the fiscal note reflects the actual bill. I have concern that this fiscal note may look like something different than the bill that in the agreed upon negotiations that thank you for doing. As a friend of both of the groups, it's very hard, I know, to work on something this difficult. I just want to have faith that when we come forward and the fiscal note we have does not assume something different than what the bill really says. And I think the Nurses Association gave a lot in getting to where they are. I know the Hospital Association has worked hard too. But please, department, have a fiscal note that actually reflects what the bill says, because this is something that we really need, the more information, and where there may be people in the department or people on the Nurses Association that wish we would have gotten more from that side. That's not where you are, and I commend you for where you are, and please try and keep this thing the way it is together so when it, we can get it off the House floor and signed into law. Thank you.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly to that point, and thank you, Representative Backmer. I commend both sides of this. Both the nurses and the hospitals have been very, very professional. I think they both have the same outcome in mind, which is to have a good, high-quality study that's performed, so that at the end we don't sit in a room like this and say, well, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? We've got all these lingering questions. I think at the end we just want to have a credible study that answers whether or not there's a need for further changes in the law to address the issues or whether there's no problem. And so long as that's what the study yields, I think we'll all be happy with it.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, to that point, I think it's also important that the legislature provide enough direction so the Department of Health isn't mitigating a food fight between both sides as they work towards implementing a study. So if there's more direction needed, then we should do that before the bill passes off the House floor, because I'm not sure. I heard kumbaya over a piece of paper, but I'm not sure I heard kumbaya over intent and interpretation on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, Representative Fulbert, I'd never describe, it's been a very serious dispute, but nothing like the term food fight would ever enter my mind. This has been way beyond. I think both sides are deeply concerned about patient safety. And at the end of the day, they want to have a study that demonstrates the degree that there's a correlation between nurse staffing and patient outcomes that we can learn from, and whether it requires legislation or whether it enables them to do some best practice work and improve what they're already doing. I think that's the kind of study that both sides would come up, and I guarantee it, both would come up and say exactly that, that they want a study that they can rely on that's credible and that will allow them to make any changes necessary to improve patient safety to the extent that it's necessary.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that concludes the questions. So Representative Atkins renews this motion that House File 588, the fourth engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No. No.
Motion carried. Just by way of announcement then, quite frankly, I wasn't sure how much time this bill would take, so remember we had scheduled a possible meeting this evening to finish the agenda. The agenda is complete, so regardless of how we define dinner and supper, I guess there won't be a meeting in conflict. Going back to your questions yesterday about caucus, Representative Holbert. With that, the deadline for tomorrow's bills for any amendments would be 9 a.m., just as a reminder. So anything else that we need to announce? Okay, with that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you, members.